Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Hey, good morning. This is everybody. Let's all stand. Let's sing Victory in Jesus. How many know you got victory in it this morning? Amen. Let's sing it out. All right, let's sing it. Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin. And all right, let's pick it up. Let's go. Let's sing it out. Walk again and cause the blind to see. Oh, and then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Sing it out, oh. Of gold behind the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there the song.
Love it. Y'all sound like y'all ready for church this morning. Amen. Amen.
Up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing on me. As the world looks upon me, as I struggle along, they say,
Sunday school this morning. I was up here as I do, get the computer going, and got my guitar out, and I was playing over this song. And Thanksgiving this week, it was just how it gets in your head sometimes with thanking the Lord for the blessings that He had blessed me and my family with, as well as my church family. I was right in the middle of playing it. Anthony and William and Cole and Mandy and one of the bus kids came in. I could tell Mandy was really upset, and the young man was too, and I had no idea what we were praying for. And Mandy shared with us the situation. And thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. You kind of changed for me. Because He has been good to me. He's been so good to my family.
Amen.
Despite all the things that we're going through with the family and the health, that He's still better to us than we deserve, folks. I appreciate them starting the song off, but it was... just stuck with me a little different today. Look over in this wing over here and see. I don't know how many kids there are over here with us in this service, but that's a blessing. I've said it many times. Lots of times we as Christians, we look for blessings to come in the form of $100 bills slapping us in the face. And it's not always a monetary thing that the Lord sends our way to bless our hearts. Sometimes we just have to look around and we'll see those blessings. I wish you would sometime just, we get caught up in running around and welcoming each other. We get caught up in going around seeing each other, hugging necks, let them know it's good to see them in the house of the Lord. Sometimes we need to go that direction.
Amen.
Lots of situations where they don't have parents bringing them to church. I didn't have to worry about that growing up. I didn't have to worry about my parents sending me. They took me to church. Lots of different situations that are going on, as we found out this morning in the prayer. praying for that young man. I want you to do something a little odd and different. We always will get up and stand on a verse of Amazing Grace, and we'll go around and tell each other how much we love each other and appreciate each other. And that generally happens a lot on a Sunday night. But we're going to sing this song. I want you to stand to your feet. Look around. You might be the blessing that somebody needs. If you'll go to them, hug their neck, love on them just a little bit, let them know how much you appreciate them. We got visitors here and here. We appreciate y'all so much coming, being a part of our service today. And some of y'all come to the visitors. Let them know they're welcome here at Westside. We want them to come back. But don't forget our visitors that made an extra special effort. Let's all stand if we would. Let's do it. There's a roof up above me. I'm a good place to sleep. There's a fountain. If you're hugging, you keep hugging. If you need to sit down, go ahead and sit down.
Beneath that flood, lose all.
The door is open, come on in as you are. All you need to bring is what remains of your heart. I see the years of fear and pain on your face. Take a step and enter in. You are safe in this place. You're never too broken to belong. You're never too wounded, never too far gone. Here you'll find Jesus and find your home. You're never too broken to belong. Come find the perfect love that no one deserves. A peace so sweet it can't be put into words. And a grace that's greater than the darkness of sin. Taste and see and take his hand. Let the healing begin. You're never too broken to belong. You're never too wounded. You're never too far gone. It's here you find Jesus and find your home. You're never too broken to belong. You are wounded and defeated, so we know how you feel. But by the wounds of my Redeemer, we believe that we are healed. You're never too broken to belong. You're never too wounded and never too far gone. It's here you find Jesus and find your home. You're never too broken to belong. You're never too broken to belong. The door is open, come on in as you are.
Praise God that he is the door. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And the funny thing about his door is always open. It's open until your last breath. I appreciate the choir this morning and the specials that were sung. I asked the Lord exactly which direction to take this morning, and well, so if you don't mind, turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And while you're turning to Colossians chapter 1, I'll try to lay a little groundwork. I want to speak about a fella named Epaphras in the Bible. I must be honest with you, I've, to the best of my recollection, I've never spoken concerning Epaphras except for referring to him for a moment, I believe, on Wednesday night. this last past Wednesday night. And I've never heard a message about this man because, frankly, so little is said about him. He's referenced three times in the Word of God. We know some things about him because of the description that Paul gave us of him. Matter of fact, we know this, that in Philemon, verse 23, Paul refers to Epaphras, as my fellow prisoner. And so it's believed by most commentators that I read after that this is a literal, in the literal sense, not just a, because Paul refers to himself as a prisoner of Christ. Well, but they believe this is of the literal sense that the Colossae church sent Epaphras, I'll try to get it right sooner or later, folks, sent him to Rome while Paul was in prison. Then while he was there, for whatever reason, he was also imprisoned. And so this term, the fellow prisoner or fellow prisoner, was used in Philemon verse 23. And the reason I didn't say chapter and then verse 23 is because there's one chapter or just verses in the book of Philemon. So Epaphras was a fellow prisoner. According to what we can read and decipher, he was sent by the Colossian church to inquire after and to minister to Paul. Now, there was a couple things going on. And when I say he inquired of Paul, I believe he was seeking counsel. This was a man that understood that in the multitude of counsel, there's found wisdom. And I want to say, and I've said this in the past, make sure when you go to find counsel, it's from people that can help you. And so in the multitude of counsel is found wisdom. But he inquired or sought counsel from Paul. There were a couple things going on in the church, and frankly, some of the things that are even going on today. There was a New Age movement, I'll call it that, to worship the angels in the church. The reason I refer to it as the New Age movement is just the old age. Today, there's something called the New Age movement, and people are steeped in worshiping angels and praying to angels. Well, I want to tell you, it's not an angel that died on the cross for your sin or my sin. It wasn't an angel that resurrected on the third day. It wasn't an angel that came and healed the blind and lame and the deaf and the dumb. It wasn't the angels that cast out the demons. It was Jesus. And so when I pray, I'm going to pray to my lawyer, my attorney, Lord Jesus, and let him plead my case before the judge. I guess I'll be glad to meet my guardian angels when I get to heaven. I'm not so sure they're going to be so happy to meet me, but I'm going to be happy to meet. But but nevertheless, I want to tell you, I'll be glad to meet them. Just apologize to them, fellas. I'm sorry for keeping you so busy. But nevertheless, when it comes to the time of need, I seek the Lord. And I appreciate Epaphras here. He inquired. Yes, there were circumstances and situations within the church, and he was inquiring from a responsible, qualified man of God that could help him go back and navigate through that minefield. And then Not only was he a man that inquired, but he was also a man that ministered. He ministered to Paul. He had a purpose. His purpose was to minister. I believe that that was his purpose above all, was just to minister. And you'll see why I say that in just a moment. Now, if you are in Colossians chapter 1, you can start in verse 3, and you find these three words: we give thanks. Now, why was Paul giving thanks? Why was he speaking on behalf of someone else as well, that we give thanks? Why was that? He was giving thanks based on information that he had acquired from Epaphras. He was excited and concerned. He instructed, if you read through the book of Colossians and Philemon, you'll find that there was instruction there. There was a need there, but he was also excited, and he says this. He said, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now listen what happened. Once he began to give thanks for those individuals, what is the next thing that happened? The very next thing that happened is they began to pray for this church. I want to say to you that if you can truly, with your heart, start to give thanks for this one and that one and the other one, you won't have time. We won't have time of restaurant table discussions. We won't have time because we'll find ourselves praying for those whom we are thankful for. I was listening to, matter of fact, you know the preacher. We had him during the month of Sundays in July, Neil Beard. And I heard him preach a couple Mondays ago. And he said this. He said, sometimes we Christians, we focus on the 5%. He said, when we need to focus on the 95%. And he didn't mean there's 95% good people in the church and 5% bad. He was saying that all of us have a 5% that's really no good and can get on people's nerves. But what we need to do is focus on that 95%. That 95% we can love. That 95% we can appreciate. That 95% that we can admire. And I really believe that Epaphras had won this battle because he gave a glowing report. Yes, he sought counsel, but he also gave a glowing report of this church. I want to share this with you, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I have to be careful that when I go to a preacher's meeting or somewhere, that I don't brag on this church so much that the preachers think I'm obnoxious and braggadocious. I really do. There's certain ones that I won't say anything in front of, not because they're bad men, but because they're in a hurtful time or their ministry isn't where they want it to be, and I don't want them to feel uncomfortable or out of place, and so I withhold it. But I tell you something, in this case, I've got the Epaphras thing down, that I brag on this church, and I brag on these people that are in the pews today. So he inquired, he ministered. But then we found that because he ministered, because he bragged, we find that Paul says, man, we give thanks. And because we are so grateful, we find ourselves praying for you. Since we heard, how did he hear? By Epaphras. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints, and the hope, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Wherefore ye heard before the word, before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit. as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. How did he know all this? He knew it because this man Epaphras was reporting and giving him the good news. Now, what about this man, Epaphras? He's not spoken about that often, and when he is, it's kind of veiled. Well, I want to share this with you about this man. There in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 7, he also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. And you think, well, that's pretty high praise, and you would be right. But I want to break it down, because it's not just pretty high praise. I believe it's very high praise. And I want to say that I believe, and me included and at the top of the list, could learn something from Epaphras. First and foremost, we find that in verse 7, we find that ye also learned of Epaphras. Now, this man, I looked up the meaning of his name, and we first find, first and foremost, that he, according to the definition of his name, was lovely. He was a lovely man. I don't know if I want to be called a lovely man, but nevertheless, he was known as a lovely man. I don't believe necessarily it's because he was real pretty. I'm not suggesting that. But I think it had to do with his attitude. I think it had to do with his spirit. I think it had to do with his discernment and his demeanor. I believe he was a lovely man. Maybe he enjoyed joking. Maybe he enjoyed fellowship and so forth. But he was a lovely man. But something else was said about him in his definition, and Scofield said this about him, that his name also meant he was a handsome man. He was a good, ladies, he was a good-looking dude. And so here he is, lovely in spirit and a handsome man. Now, so that is the definition of his name, which doesn't maybe mean that much, but I just thought it was interesting. I want to share it with you. So we see that Epaphras is referred to in the next two words, our dear. And I looked into that and I said, well, what does that mean? He is our dear fellow servant. What does that mean? And you know, when you break it down and you look into the Greek words, it actually meant he's our favorite. Now, I tell you, we might brag, somebody in a family might brag if they say, man, I'm the favorite, I'm mom and dad's favorite. And everybody thinks the other child is being treated like the favorite, right? I've got two of them, and the older one said the younger one was treated as the favorite, and the younger one said the so I know, but this man, according to Paul, he's actually saying, he's my favorite. And he didn't say just mine. He said he's our favorite. I tell you, that's a high praise coming from a man like Paul. Something else it's saying. He's saying, Epaphras, our worthy of love fellow servant. This was a man that just wasn't their favorite, but he was worthy of it. I tell you, when folks show us favoritism, or if I may say, love and compassion, I believe we should try to be more like Epaphras and be worthy of it. The truth of the matter is, there's a love that we're not worthy of. You know, there's a love we might be and a love that we're not. Some of you fellas, you started dating your wife. When you weren't your wife, well, she wasn't your wife, but you started dating, and at some point, she found you worthy of her affection, and vice versa. let me say this, that there's a love that we are not worthy of. And that's the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all because of His grace. It's all because of His mercy. We're just not worthy. We're sinners, corrupt, flesh, saved by the grace of God. Well, so we see Epaphras, he's dear, he's a favorite, he's worthy of the love of this church. It didn't say he was perfect, it just said he's worthy of the love. Then listen to this, I believe it'll help us this morning. It also says in this verse, he also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant. He was their dear, their favorite, their worthy of love, fellow servant. And this thing of fellow servant got a hold of me. Because in the Greek it means one who serves the same master with another. Church, if we could just get it in our minds that we are all on some level an Epaphras. That we are all serving the same God, the same master. And if we're serving Him, we're serving one with another. You know, as you and I went through our week, things were happening here at the church. You may have been at work. You may have been at Walmart. You may have been taking a nap or watching TV. I don't know. But during the week, Epaphras was here. I tell you, I appreciate our cooks that cook for our seniors, the samplers on Tuesdays. I call them Epaphras. Nobody really knew what they were doing, but my goodness, at 12:30, we walked back in there. And I mean, I'm in my office, I'm doing my thing, and you're doing your thing, but somebody was cooking. Then they called us back and laid out a spread of food like you wouldn't believe. There was somebody cooking. I tell you, there was somebody, Epaphras, if I may say, was working on the ads for the screen. While we were doing this, that, and the other, Epaphras was at work. While we were about our business, Epaphras was preparing the music for this week. It doesn't just happen. There's an Epaphras somewhere preparing the music. Then we find that maybe there was an Epaphras somewhere preparing a message for the congregation. Maybe we find that there's an Epaphras somewhere preparing their Sunday school lesson for Sunday. Then we find another Epaphras somewhere that was preparing the lawn. Last night, I was here a little after 8 o'clock, and I was leaving, and I just thought, how nice everything was touched up and so forth. And you know what was going on? There was an Epaphras, maybe someone that we don't mention very often, but there was an Epaphras doing the job, working in the Lord's work. And you know what that's called? Serving the same master one with another. There was an Epaphras somewhere on Thursday or Tuesday and Saturday. There was a little Epaphras running around here, decorating the auditorium, fixing, what is this called? Cornucopia? Is that right? Did I say it right? Okay, cornucopia. Isn't that nice? There's a lot of moving pieces of it. It had to be, I wish that was edible. I wish that wasn't fake stuff. I want to tell you, half of it be gone and in the back seat of my car. But my point is, this Epaphras was doing the job. Then somewhere yesterday, while you were doing what you were doing, somebody was out visiting the kids. So this Sunday morning when the buses ran, we were slammed full over here. There were probably 30 kids crammed over here looking for a place to sit. Were they a little noisy? Weren't they a little rowdy? I looked over there and there was a little kid sitting on the floor with a bow on top of his head. I don't care. They're here. And they're here because Epaphras was at work yesterday. Somewhere there's an Epaphras that was visiting somebody, and loving on them and letting them know that they're loved and wanted at Westside Baptist Church. Epaphras was on his visiting schedule this morning. Epaphras unlocked the back door to the kitchen so another Epaphras could come in and cook for these young people. I was brushing my teeth and I looked down at my clock, my phone, and I said, thank God for Epaphras. Right now there's kids whose tummies are being filled because there's an Epaphras on the job. Somewhere there was an Epaphras this morning opening the front doors of the church, making sure the heater was on. Wasn't it chilly this morning? Somewhere there was somebody making sure this heat was on so you wouldn't freeze to death. Now, we're not talking about Pina. She's going to freeze to death. I don't care what. But I'm talking about you other folks. I'm talking about Epaphras. Epaphras. Unlocking the building, making sure things were open. I'm just saying this man was a fellow servant, a man that served his master with one another. Let us all have a desire to be like Epaphras. So we find he was dear, he was faithful, he was worthy, and he served the Lord. Let me tell you what else he did. He also, as a fellow servant, it means one who serves, one who with others is subject to the same divine authority. Ladies and gentlemen, the authority that I am subject to is the same authority that you are subject to, and vice versa. If you're God's, you're subject to his authority. And this man was a man that lived his life as someone that was subject to God's authority. If I could just say this, may we all live our lives as we are subject to one divine authority, which is Jesus Christ. I know our methods sometimes differ, but we are all subject to that authority. So that is what fellow servant means. Is that good enough for you? Can I stop there with that definition? Because it moves on. It says, Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. He is for you. In other words, he's thinking of you. I want to say this, and I mean this as your pastor. Every step that I take, every dream that I have for Westside Baptist Church is for you, and that Christ will be glorified through you. That's why we love. That's why we hug. That's why we share our burdens one with another. We care for you. This thing of faithful, it means this. He was a faithful minister of Christ. It means he was a true, he was the real McCoy. It also means he was a trusty minister of Christ. In other words, you could trust him. He was trusty or trusted. And then, not only was he trusty or trusted, but he was worthy of trust. Then we find as him being faithful, he was one who has become convinced that Jesus is the Messiah and author of salvation. That is what it means in this definition to be faithful, a faithful minister of Christ. Is to be one that doesn't suspect, but you're convinced that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the author of your salvation. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And when we're convinced of that, we can be a true, faithful minister of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to make one more statement concerning this man, then we're going to go about our business. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12, there's something else said else about Epaphras. It says, Epaphras, who is one of you. That got a hold of me, and you have to forgive me. I'm not trying to read too much into something little. But it said that he was one of you. In other words, he's one of you, a servant of Christ. Listen, Paul's saying he's the guy that when you go to the hospital, you call and he's there. And I am as your pastor. As soon as somebody sees it on Facebook and lets me know, I go. Sometimes I might find out a day later. Miss Rita went to the ER the other night, and I found out the next day she was at the ER. And recently we had a passing. I found out 2.5 hours after the passing. Everything goes on Facebook, and then somebody eventually gets around to let me know about it. And I appreciate it, by the way, I do. But Epaphras was one of them. He ministered. He was a servant of Christ. He married him. He buried him. He visited when they were sick. He did what he could for this church. And they had so much confidence in him that they sent him to Paul. And there he paid the ultimate price for his service. He went to give report. He went to get counsel. And as we've already read, he went to minister. He went to minister to God's man. I want to tell you something, folks. I'm not much of anything. I was actually reviewing a movie that one of the teachers wanted to take the kids to see about Christmas. And one of the little captions that was said, it was an animal, and he said this. He said, "I'm just an old millstone donkey." Well, that's probably a good description of this fellow right here. I'm just an old millstone donkey. But I tell you, I have a desire to be like Epaphras. And I'll just keep grinding away. And let's just keep grinding away. Keep walking away. And doing that job which is laid out before us. And one day, maybe we'll get off the old millstone. Maybe someone like Paul could write something of us like he did of Epaphras. We give thanks to God, is what Paul said. I wonder today, are we giving thanks to God for what we have? Are we giving thanks to God for maybe what we had? I know of two folks that I'm directly connected with, two precious individuals this week that lost their jobs. It's a tough thing to be thankful when that kind of thing happens. I get multiple phone calls every week. Some good, some bad, some sad. And sometimes it's hard to be thankful. It's hard to be thankful when cell phones go off in church. Amen. Especially when it's mine. Okay. But it's hard to be thankful. I want you to think about this and then we'll shut her down. Paul said that we're thankful. And he was in prison. He was in shackles, feet and hands. And yet he found a way to be thankful. Can we find a way to be thankful this morning? Are we thankful for what God has done for us? I'm talking about that he saved you, died on the cross for you, resurrected, beat the devil out of the devil, bless his heart. The Bible says that it's crushed, that Jesus crushed, bruised means crushed, the skull of Satan on the cross. Well, we can be thankful for that, can't we? I'm looking around. I don't think there's one of you. I'm not so sure there's any of you, maybe one or two in here, that should not go on some form of a diet. Matter of fact, I'm wearing a suit that I was ordained in about 18, 19 years ago. But today I'm wearing two girdles to make it happen. If they let go, folks, it's going to be a mess. Just scrape me off the ceiling and keep on preaching. Amen. I don't understand some things. Forgive me. I don't understand some things. There was a woman on TV the other day. And folks, there's needy people out there. I want you to know there's needy people out there. And I mean, she was weeping and crying, but she was thanking God that somebody gave her some food. I thank the Lord for Westside Baptist Church. I thank God that we're giving some folks that need food this year. And we had 10 on the list to give to help for Christmas, children I'm talking about. And now I think it's 14. Folks, there's hurting people out there. And none of us are wealthy and rich. I don't think there's a person in this room that could go out and buy a Lamborghini for their pastor. I don't think one of you could do that. But the truth of the matter is, none of us are pseudo-wealthy. But there's people out there that are hurting. And we need to be thankful for what God's given us. From South, you say, well, preacher, you don't know where I live. You're right. I might not, but I'm going to tell you, I don't think any of you came to church today from the backside of a bridge. None of us. We got something to be thankful about. Can we not try to be more like this very seldom mentioned man, Epaphras? Preacher, what's the invitation? I don't know. You know, the Holy Spirit's dealt with your heart about something today. His word does not come back void. It's pierced some. It's helped others. It's comforted some. Been a blessing to others and a messing to some, I know. You know what it is. You follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit as Brother Dave comes and the piano plays. You follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Epaphras, not a lot said about him until you start looking and reading and studying. And then all of a sudden, his whole life becomes so real and so alive. And I want to challenge the Christian this morning that today, that you will allow your Christian walk to become alive and real and exciting to those around you. Not that you can be seen of others, but that others will be blessed by your and my service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we do that this morning? Can we say, Lord, let my life become obvious and alive to those around us like Epaphras' life did with those around him. Let's stand, please. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to say to you that he loves you. He died for your sins. And all you have to do to receive Christ is admit you're a sinner and ask him to come into your heart. And he'll make you a new creature. He'll save you from your sins. He'll make you a new creature in Christ. Say, preacher, you don't know the trouble I've seen. Jesus does. You don't know where I've been, but Jesus does. You can't meet my need, preacher. No, but Jesus can. He's the Alpha, he's the Omega, he's the beginning and the end. And he's got you in his hands. He loves you. If you just receive him as your Savior today. Before we sit down, we have a couple quick announcements and then we'll run. But Brother Don Frosseth, you know his situation, and Miss Karen, they watch on their TV every week this service. And I thought it would be really nice if we could all turn around and look at the cameras back there and at one time say, hey, Don and Karen. So can we turn around, look at those cameras, wave, one, two, three, hey, Don and Karen. Amen. We love you. God bless you, my brother. God bless you, my sister.